From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. This morning, President Bush nominated Judge Samuel Alito to replace Justice Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court.
I'm pleased to announce my nomination of Judge Samuel A. Alito, Jr. as Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. Judge Alito is one of the most accomplished and respected judges in America. And his long career in public service has given him an extraordinary breadth of experience.
The president wasted no time trying to mend the rift his nomination of Harriet Myers caused in his own party. He chose a favorite son of the political right, a man whose views so closely align with conservative Justice Antonin Scalia's that he's been nicknamed Scalito. Judge Alito is a graduate of Princeton University and Yale Law School. He's argued 12 cases on behalf of the federal government in front of the Supreme Court. In 1987, Ronald Reagan named him U.S. Attorney for the District of New Jersey. In 1990, George H.W. Bush nominated him to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, where he has been a frequent dissenter on a historically liberal court. Today, he accepted President George W. Bush's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Federal judges have the duty to interpret the Constitution and the laws faithfully and fairly, to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans, and to do these things with care and with restraint, always keeping in mind the limited role that the courts play in our constitutional system. And I pledge that if confirmed, I will do everything within my power to fulfill that responsibility.
He has a strong conservative track record. He will likely unite Bush's own party. But this is a nomination that could change the balance of the high court fundamentally. Democratic leader Harry Reid has already warned the president yesterday of trouble ahead if he picked Judge Alito. This hour on point, the nomination of Samuel Alito and the court battle now. You can join the conversation. What do you make of President Bush's new pick? Is this an improvement over Harriet Myers? In what direction? And do you want a quick confirmation here or a fight? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We go first to Washington for reaction to the president's announcement this morning. Jan Crawford Greenberg covers the Supreme Court for the Chicago Tribune. Jan, thanks for being with us. What are you hearing already?
Well, we're hearing that Republicans are immediately coming out in strong support of Judge Alito, and Democrats are taking, obviously, the opposite approach. Already we've heard incredibly strong statements from leaders in the party and outside groups promising a massive effort to defeat this nominee.
Why is the GOP rising so happily to this nomination? Why are the Democrats opposing early on?
Well, conservatives and Republicans believe that Judge Alito has the kind of intellectual heft and qualifications necessary to go on to the high court to kind of provide the counterbalance to the intellectual heavyweights on the left, like Ginsburg and Breyer and Souter. They were very disappointed with the nomination of Harriet Myers because they didn't think she really rose to the occasion for this critical seat with the future of the court in the balance. Judge Alito, they believe, has the qualifications, has the background, has the intellect to do that, to go under the court and make a difference. They don't see him as a movement guy. He is not, some people say, kind of the kind of conservative like, say, a Judge Luttig would have been. He's the low-key, kind of soft around the edges, not the sharp elbows of Scalia, but someone with the brain power that could move the court. Democrats recognize that. I mean, this is a ball game. The critical seat for Justice O'Connor. Alito is a conservative, a leading conservative, preeminent judge in the nation. So they recognize that. They say, look, this is what's in the balance, abortion, religion, affirmative action, all these rights. And so they are going to rise up and work to defeat him.
Is this a nomination that could get us back in the filibuster mode, in the nuclear option mode in the U.S. Senate?
Yes. Senators already are raising that as a possibility on both sides of the aisle. Republicans insisting that this is not the kind of nominee who should be subject to a filibuster. Senator Graham, for example, a critical member of that gang of 14, that came together and reached a deal to avoid filibusters, said this is not the kind of nominee that we think rises to that occasion. This is not extraordinary circumstances, but you can be sure that other people in that group, and he is pretty confident other people in that group are going to disagree. Democrats are refusing right now to rule out a filibuster of this nominee. Republicans are ready for a fight. Democrats are ready for a fight. It looks like, obviously, a battle ahead.
So this may be the knockdown dragout. After all, remind us, Jan, why the O'Connor seat is so important, the role that this justice has played.
Absolutely. I mean, Justice O'Connor, her vote, you know, she was not like being referred to as the swing vote, but she really is on so many different cases that are of tremendous importance to everyday Americans, whether it's abortion or affirmative action or religion. Her vote was often the critical one, and the way she went, so went the court, to the point that lawyers often in cases would craft their entire argument to her, trying to get her vote. So with her retirement, the balance of the court, and in many ways, the future of our society is on the line. I mean, that is not an overstatement. And people know that. Republicans here, Democrats across the country, this is the ballgame. This is the critical seat. So goes O'Connor in so many of these cases. So goes the court. With her leaving the court, someone like Judge Alito coming on, it could make a big difference.
This nickname, Scalito, a reference to Antonin Scalia, who along with Clarence Thomas defines the conservative wing of the court right now. How fair, how apt, how much in the Scalia-Thomas mold do you see this nominee?
I actually think that nickname is unfair, and it's a play on his
Italian roots and conservative stance generally.
In some ways, it's kind of it's almost like an ethnic joke.
Yep.
He is conservative. He looks at the law in a conservative way. But I think that's one reason why you're hearing referred to as Scalito, because he's Alito. He's very different in style than Justice Scalia. He will be very different on the court than Justice Scalia. He is not as bombastic, as in-your-face as Scalia can be on the bench and even in his opinion writing. If you talk to clerks of Judge Alito, people who know him well, and keep in mind Judge Alito has support among friends and clerks who are conservative and liberal. He doesn't hire liberal or conservative clerks. He has both. And they say, you know, he's just a nice guy. He's easygoing. He doesn't apply, you know, these rigid ideological litmus tests in hiring and even when he looks at cases. So he'll have a lot of support and people who know him. And he will bring that, they believe, to the bench so that when he's up there on the bench, he's not going to be as in-your-face, as sharp as Justice Scalia, as we all know, can tend to be.
And finally, Jan, what about timetable? The president talked about a confirmed nominee by the end of the year. Is that possible?
It's going to be a very, very quick turnaround to get him on the bench by the end of the year. They would love to do that. You know, Justice O'Connor is sitting up there. She's agreed to stay on until her successor is confirmed. It will be a tight time frame, but with someone like Judge Alito, he's got a long record, a long paper trail. We already know a lot of things that we can read and study and talk about and debate. So it's not like we're going to be, you know, trying to get papers from 20 years ago or go on some fishing expedition to figure out who he is and what he thinks. A lot of it's already out there. That will make the process move a lot more quickly.
Less mystery, a lot of record. Jan Crawford Greenberg with the Chicago Tribune. Always great talking with you. Thank you very much for joining us, Jan.
Thank you, Tom.
Let me turn now in Washington to Bennett Roth. He's Washington correspondent for the Houston Chronicle. He's been watching all this, not just in the context of the court and constitutional interpretations, but in context of the enormous sort of political fireball rolling around the capital city lately. Bennett Roth, thank you for joining us.
Hi.
The president has turned around very quickly to nominate, the successor, I guess, to Harriet Myers. I'm not sure what the name is for a nominee who goes away. Why so quickly?
Well, he needed to change the subject fast. As you can remember, on Friday we were talking about indictments of Scooter Libby and the continued investigation of Karl Rove. And today all we're talking about is Judge Alito and your program and elsewhere. And I think that's what he wants. This looks like he's doing business, doing the nation's business.
We were scheduled to talk about Vice President Cheney this morning. And exactly as you say, we are now talking about a new nominee. It doesn't mean we'll drop the rest, but it does change the agenda for the moment. What about the right that was so upset with Harriet Myers' nomination? Are they appeased?
It really appears so. I mean, the emails are coming through fast and furious from right-wing groups that were dumping on Myers immediately and now are praising Alito. So they seem to be very pacified at this point and ready to fight.
And Bennett, what's your sense of the White House and how knocked back on its heels it is or is not with all the events of the last week, the last couple of months? President Bush looking to get a restart here. Is he in position to grab that?
Well, I mean, this has been a real political blow to them. I don't think it's an understatement to say last week was probably one of the worst weeks in the Bush presidency. And they really have, but they have been trying to come up with a plan to get over it. They're not so defeated at this point that they're giving up. And part of this plan is to come up with a new proactive agenda, which will include this as well as tax reform.
And if it goes to the mat in the Senate, if it comes to a Democratic filibuster and Republicans overriding that to change the rules that say a filibuster can stop a nomination, will the White House be behind that? Are they ready for a left-right political Donnybrook here?
Well, I'm sure they're hoping they can pick off a few moderate Democrats who, in those red states, who are not as eager to fight, so they don't have to do that. There is a risk for the White House that this becomes an all-out fight, a pitched battle over abortion. You turn off the middle, and they can't survive just with support from their base.
But we've heard Richard Viguerie and others on this show saying this is a time when the president ought to go for that fiery battle, that will pull eyes off of Iraq, pull eyes off of all the rest, that will work to his benefit. Karl Rove, I guess, is still around. Is that the kind of strategy he might suggest here?
Well, Karl Rove has always been a believer in keeping your base happy. That's true. But there are so many other problems the president faces right now that even the Supreme Court battle is not going to alleviate and concerning Iraq and other issues. And so I think the president does have to keep his eye on keeping the more than just his base happy at this point.
Bennett Roth with the Houston Chronicle in Washington. Thanks very much for being with us, Bennett.
Thank you.
We're talking this hour about President Bush's brand new pick for Sandra Day O'Connor's seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, Judge Samuel A. Alito Jr. You can join us. What do you make of the latest nominee for this seat? Is this an improvement over Harriet Myers? In what direction? Do you want a quick confirmation here or a fight? 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this morning, or today, about President Bush's new pick for Sandra Day O'Connor's seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, Judge Samuel A. Alito Jr. You can join the conversation. Do you want a quick confirmation here? Do you want to see a fight? What are you expecting now in this troubled path to finding a successor to Sandra Day O'Connor? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. The president put the pressure on right away this morning, saying he wanted the Senate to confirm Judge Samuel Alito quickly.
I'm confident that the United States Senate will be impressed by Judge Alito's distinguished record, his measured judicial temperament, and his tremendous personal integrity. And I urge the Senate to act promptly on this important nomination so that an up or down vote is held before the end of this year.
An up or down vote, no filibuster, please, says the president. At his elbow in the White House today, Judge Alito, who spoke about his most recent visit to the Supreme Court for the funeral of Chief Justice William Rehnquist.
As I approached the Supreme Court building with a group of other federal judges, I was struck by the same sense of awe that I had felt back in 1982, not because of the imposing and beautiful building in which the Supreme Court is housed, but because of what the building and, more importantly, the institutions stand for, our dedication as a free and open society to liberty and opportunity, and, as it says above the entrance to the Supreme Court, equal justice under law.
Samuel Alito, the brand new nominee for the United States Supreme Court to take the seat of Sandra Day O'Connor, who is waiting to retire until the court confirms her successor in place. I'm joined right now from Malibu, California, by Doug Kamek. He's professor of constitutional law at Pepperdine University School of Law, former assistant attorney general under Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. He worked with Sam Alito in the office of the legal counsel in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan. Doug Kamek, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Also with us from New Haven, Connecticut, Heather Gerken, professor of law at Harvard Law School, currently a visiting professor at Yale, former law clerk to Justice David Souter on the Supreme Court during the 95-96 term. Heather Gerken, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Doug, you're our conservative voice this morning. Today, what do you think of this nominee, Sam Alito?
Well, conservative or liberal, I think Sam Alito is an ideal choice. It's a choice based on merit. A choice based on ability Sam Alito is a person who is a judge's judge in this sense. He very carefully studies every record, rules on the basis of the facts before him, does not decide the case on an ideological way, but on the record. I think when the Senate studies his cases from the past 15 years on the appellate bench, they're going to see someone who has put his own views aside and defended the First Amendment in terms of both speech and religion, who has been very careful about observing Congress's anti-discrimination provisions in the civil rights laws. This is a very, very fine judge. The country will be well served by Sam Alito when he's confirmed.
Heather Gerken, how about it? This is the Sandra Day O'Connor seat, seen as the swing vote on so many issues. We heard earlier from Jan Crawford Greenberg of the Chicago Tribune, this could be a nomination that changes the court, that changes the country. How do you see Judge Sam Alito as a nominee?
Well, I think that President Bush should be complimented for choosing a highly qualified candidate and one with an actual record that we can evaluate. That being said, he has decided to replace a very moderate judge with a very conservative judge. In other words, he has decided to move the Supreme Court to the right. And that, I think, will introduce a conversation about what we want our Constitution to mean in a way that we haven't had in a long time, and that will actually be very useful for the country.
Doug Kamek, in California, Gary Bauer, a prominent conservative, calling the nomination this morning a grand slam home run. Why do you think staunch conservatives are greeting this nomination with such glee, celebration?
Well, I would hope that Mr. Bauer is praising the democratic process, that when the people in the several states make choices, we can be sure that Sam Alito will observe those choices and respect them, except when they transgress the anticipated protections in the Constitution. So I think if people shouldn't praise this nomination for particular outcomes, because that's not the way I know Sam Alito operates. Our offices were immediately adjacent in the Department of Justice for many years. I watched this person then and now examine precedents within precedents, giving respect where the law merits respect, asking questions and probing deeply where it does not, but always with a sense of humility and open-mindedness. So I think the praise is for those qualities, and if you have those qualities on the bench, you get the judiciary that the framers anticipated, and that is a healthy debate and a worthy thing to have.
Professor Kamek, I'd like to cut to the chase a little more candidly here with you, if we could. I mean, you know what's been sitting out there. Conservatives said, we're not confident that Harriet Myers is going to turn this country off the path it's been on for several decades and into the more conservative realm where we want it to go. Presumably, they're celebrating because they think that Sam Alito will help them do that on abortion, on religion in public life, on affirmative action. We've had conservatives on this show saying it's time to have the battle straight up. We want to change the country. We're not looking to propel the status quo forward. Do you think Sam Alito will deliver for conservatives on that agenda?
Well, I think that's a political agenda, and I don't think that's an agenda for a judge to be evaluated on. And
well, it's been driven by the court for decades. Can it not be driven by the court again? Is that not what President Bush's conservative supporters have been calling for very loudly?
Well, I think the conservative voice on this is always a mixture of understanding. I think the concerns about the previous nominee, whether they were fair or not, we'll have to evaluate in terms of history, was that she had brought less necessary preparation in terms of constitutional study and federal practice than obviously this nominee, a nominee who was an advocate before the Supreme Court, who was the president's lawyer in the Office of Legal Counsel, who's been 15 years on the bench. So I think a good deal of the conservative objection was just simply, does the previous nominee have the goods, the capacity to evaluate the tough legal questions? And yes, we all take sides in legal disputes, and I may want a conservative outcome, but I'm only going to get it if the Constitution gives me the method to reach that destination. And I think all conservatives are really saying is give us a fair, balanced chance to have the voice of democratic outcomes vindicated, and the people will, in fact, be their own governors, and that will be a victory. And that's the real victory, not any particular transient conservative or liberal issue.
Heather Gerken, how do you interpret the case Doug Kamek is making here? Is that a case to change the culture of the country by pulling the courts out of certain realms? Is that a revolutionary case?
Well, it's not possible to pull the court out of these realms. The court is deeply enmeshed in these questions of social and political questions. And I think it's been a long time since anyone has really thought that they weren't. The difference between Justice O'Connor and Judge Alito is this. Justice O'Connor was the best politician in Washington. She had an unerring ability to figure out where the middle of the country was. And as a result, she has guided the Supreme Court in a way to straight down the middle of American politics. And that has in many ways preserved the court's legitimacy as it's dealt with these searing questions like abortion, gay rights, and so on. Judge Alito will move that court to the right. And so if that's the aim of the conservatives, I think they're going to succeed in their aim. How far to the right he moves them is going to be harder to predict. But certainly he's a more conservative judge than Justice O'Connor is, just based on his record. And when he's on the Supreme Court, released from the constraints of binding Supreme Court precedent, there's a lot more play in the joints, I think, than Professor Kamek has given credit to the Supreme Court for having. There's a lot more room for these questions. The Supreme Court addresses questions that are new questions, and a judge's ideology and a judge's political biases and a judge's methodology all come to play in deciding those questions.
There's a lot of power sitting right there. Heather Gerken, Doug Kamek, please stand by. I want to welcome to our conversation from New York City Paul Fishman. He's a partner at the law firm Friedman, Kaplan, Seller, and Edelman. He's known Samuel Alito for 25 years. They worked together at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Newark, New Jersey. Mr. Fishman, thanks for being with us.
Happy to do it.
Give us your character assessment of this man. Who's Sam Alito?
I think Sam is a terrific guy. He is somebody who, despite his long list of professional and personal accomplishments, all of which you have been discussing for several minutes now with many of your panelists, has no swagger at all. You really have to ask, you have to dig deep when you talk to him to find out where he's come from and what he's done in his life. He's a brilliant guy. He's very shy. He's hard to talk to at first, but after you get to know him, he's got a quick, incisive mind, and as I said, brilliant and also hilarious when you get to know him personally.
What about his politics? Do you think he's a man who would have the sand to step into Sandra Day O'Connor's seat and move the country in a different direction? Would he move the country in a more conservative direction?
Well, it's hard to say how he would rule in particular cases. I can tell you I don't think that's how he approaches his work. During the 20-so years that I've known him, we've almost never discussed politics in those terms. He is very interested in the facts of particular cases. And I think even if you look at some of his opinions, it's hard to map him on the spectrum of conservative thought. He's taken a very liberal approach to some First Amendment cases. And I don't think it's a fair characterization to guess that he would push the court far to the right. He approaches his work, I think, as Professor Kamek said this morning, in a very meticulous fashion, paying very careful attention to what the courts have said before the particular case that he's deciding. And he really listens very hard to arguments. He's had a very broad spectrum of law clerks over the years. One of my partners is one of the most liberal Democrats that I know and clerked for him and found him to be enormously respectful of her views on various cases. So I just don't think you can characterize him necessarily that way.
And when he goes before the Senate for his confirmation hearings, do you expect a smooth operator like John Roberts, that intelligence but also that ease of handling the Senate or not?
Justice Roberts, of course, has been in Washington and circulated in that environment for most of his professional career. Judge Alito, of course, was there for part of the time. But as I think you saw this morning at his statement with the president, he's very articulate, he's very polished, he's very smart. He may not be quite as quick to joust with the senators, perhaps, but I think you'll see a very impressive display.
Paul Fishman in New York, known Sam Alito for 25 years, worked with him in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Newark, New Jersey. Mr. Fishman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Let me turn now to Washington and Jessica Eckhart, Executive Director of the Eagle Forum, a conservative grassroots organization founded by Phyllis Schlafly in 1972. Jessica, we spoke with you, less than 2 weeks ago now. You were very unhappy with Harriet Myers. Now it's Sam Alito. Alito, are you happier with this nominee?
Yes, thanks, Tom. Sam Alito has an impressive resume, and based on what we know of his record now, we support his nomination. He's argued 12 cases before the Supreme Court. Everyone talks that he prefers to write his own opinions, and so we're looking forward to learning more and more about him. From what we know now, we do seem to be able to support his nomination.
With John Roberts and potentially Sam Alito on the court, what changes do you feel might come to the profile of the court, to this country, Jessica? What are you hoping for?
Well, what we hope for is that this appointment and the previous confirmation of Judge Roberts will move our country closer towards the Constitution and away from judicial activism. If you look at the way the court has ruled in the past 30 and 40 years, that they have moved away from strictly interpreting the Constitution, and judges continue to interact with enact what they believe the Constitution says rather than what is actually written. So we hope that Judge Alito will have a great hearing where he will get an up or down vote and that he will be confirmed and sitting on the court as soon as possible.
And what do you hope that might mean, let's say, about the legality of abortion? Would you like to see that overturned? Are you confident that it could or would be with this court?
I don't think anyone can say what issues are going to come up and how Judge Alito would rule. I don't think that anyone's asking him to speak on that, and I'm sure that his record will be closely scrutinized by the Senate and will come out in the hearings, and everyone will be able to make their own determination.
But what's your vision, Jessica? Abortion is legal in this country now. Do you want it to stay that way?
Well, Eagle Forum, as a group, we do not support abortion. We're obviously a pro-life organization that we'll continue to fight to make sure that abortion is outlawed, and that in and of itself is not necessarily connected with Judge Alito and his confirmation hearing. We're continuing to evaluate his resume and his rulings and go through them on our own at this point from what we know.
Judge Alito wrote an opinion in 1999 that said a Christmas display on city property did not violate separation of church and state doctrines. Are you comforted by that? Would you like to see a greater role for religion in the public sphere?
Well, what we do want to see is the country that has embraced religious freedom to continue to have religious freedom and to move away from where the ACLU can threaten any jurisdiction, any small city council, all the way up to the United States government, that threaten them with lawsuits whenever they even mention the word God. So we hope that this Supreme Court will continue to recognize the role that faith and plays in the many lives of Americans, and not to remove the faith references from any part of our public life.
Jessica Eckhart with the Eagle Forum in Washington, a strong conservative there, and been with us before. Jessica, thank you very much for being back.
Thank you, Tom.
Big thumbs up for Sam Alito there. Let's take a call before the break. Mel is calling from Westford, Massachusetts. Hi, Mel. You're on the air.
Hi. Great show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great to have you. What do you think of this one, Mel?
Well, a couple of quick points. You've gotten it's interesting to hear the spin from the conservative voices you've just spoken with, and people, they're quick to try to distance any predictions on how Alito would swing the court, or how he would decide. And even one person saying, well, he's ruled on the liberal side of some certain First Amendment issues. That all sounds like spin to me.
So what do you see?
Now what I see is that I think there's going to be a very contentious partisan battle over this. And to me, the main thing that strikes me is that, President Bush campaigned with, I want to be a uniter, not a divider. And, I mean, this just puts the lie to that. I mean, he's pandering, he's playing the politics of appeasement to the extreme right. I do think that Myers was completely a stealth candidate, was never intended to actually be successfully nominated and approved. She was put out there to change the criteria for acceptance of a judge. By putting her out there, her qualifications became the issue, not her philosophy or politics.
And we've got a very qualified nominee right now who also happens to have political stripes. We've heard a lot of praise for him this morning. Also, big question marks. Mel, thanks very much for your call. We've got to take a short break. We'll be right back with Douglas Kamik and Heather Gerken. You can join us as well. Do you want a quick confirmation here or a fight? What do you see in the nomination of Sam Alito to the U.S. Supreme Court. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, B-I-C-O-N.com, and Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital, for more than 60 years helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services in Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about President Bush's new pick for Sandra Day O'Connor's seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. After Harriet Myers comes Judge Samuel A. Alito, Jr. from the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia. What do you think? What are you hearing in this nomination? Do you want a quick confirmation or a fight? Do you anticipate a filibuster, nuclear option, a real hoedown in the U.S. Senate? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've been joined from Pepperdine University Law School this hour by Douglas Kamek, professor of constitutional law there, and from Yale Law School by Harvard Law School professor Heather Gerken with us in this hour. Right now, John is calling from Amherst, New York. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Hello, guests. As Tom, you probably are aware, I am delighted with the pick.
Why do you like it so much, John? What about it?
Well, I do like it where anyone who runs on a conservative platform, if you're, say, a politician, in this day and age has been winning these elections. And I, as a conservative, have been begging for this fight. I want these people to go out there. And, Tom, I do believe truly this is not about anything other than abortion. And, you know, it's not a question of the abortion becoming illegal if all of a sudden it is struck down by the Supreme Court. Let this go to the states. The left seems so convinced that we are a pro-choice country. Let them fight it in the ballot box. We're not afraid of fights.
Do you smell a turnaround coming on that, John? If you look with this court that's shaping up here, look 5 or 10 years out, do you see a different America?
Well, I'm a very big fan of Mr. Kamek. I watch you on the television. You're fantastic. I'm sure that he would agree that where in the world does it state there is a right to privacy? There's a right to a legal search and seizure, but privacy to do what? I mean, that's a thing that people who are scholars can never, who are on the left side, can never explain. Privacy to do what? If I want to be in private in order to conspire to do something that is illegal, that's, don't bother my privacy. I haven't done anything yet, but don't screw up my privacy.
And don't cover abortion rights with privacy, we hear you saying. John, we thank you for your call. Doug Kamek, how about it? In your interpretation or in Sam Alito's, do you believe that the Supreme Court, down the avenue of privacy, the Constitution justifies abortion via that path?
Well, Tom, this is the big question, and I agree with John that much of the dispute will be here. And Professor Gerken and I suspect, would agree on this as well, that this is the issue of what is unenumerated in the Constitution. From a conservative perspective, we believe this is an enumerated, limited government, and that the power is reserved to the people to make these tough policy calls on whether there's abortion or not. And the difficulty with the Supreme Court's jurisprudence in this area, as many scholars have said over many years, is that they disregarded the concepts of tradition and custom implicit in what the court calls ordered liberty, and read into the Constitution something that just simply isn't there. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, as John pointed out, that abortion gets abolished. Many religious believers would seek that abolition, but they will need to come to the political forum. They'll need to make their case that that's the way the law should handle matters. I would suspect that Judge Alito is going to be quite similar in approach to answering these questions to John Roberts. He's going to point out that there is existing precedent
that he's going to have to inquire whether it's workable, whether it's certain, whether it's stable. But most importantly, I think he's going to be moving in a direction that is more respectful of the choices of the people. And if the people decide that they want to strike the balance more in favor of life, I think the court will ultimately vindicate that with John Roberts and Sam Alito on it.
Heather Gerken, Doug Kamek talks about ordered liberty in relationship to the court and a court with John Roberts and Sam Alito on it. Justice Stephen Breyer writing recently about what he calls active liberty, about an ongoing interpretation of the Constitution as a living document. Do you see the court walking away from that view if these two men sit side by side where once Rehnquist and O'Connor sat? Heather.
Well, the very strange thing about all of these debates is that both sides claim the Constitution to be their own, and both sides claim that what they're reading into the Constitution is fully consistent with our democracy. So just as conservatives will look to Roe versus Wade and say that was anti-democratic, they're reading something outside the Constitution, so will liberals look to this conservative court and call it activist, saying the 11th Amendment of this Constitution does not say what they say it says. They've put restrictions on Congress's power to pass statutes and other democratic branch that are just inconsistent with the constitutional mandate. So there is a fight here, and it's a real substantive fight. And what I liked most about John's comments is he recognized that. We're not going to be fighting over whether Judge Alito is going to be a good judge. He's obviously going to be a very good judge. We're not fighting over whether he's highly qualified. He obviously is. The fight will be about where do we want constitutional interpretation to go in the next 20 or 30 years. And the reason why the Constitution provides the Senate an opportunity, the only opportunity for the people to check the judiciary, is because we are settling this question for 20 years. These judges are not going to be removed. They're going to be there for a very long time. And the question is, what is our constitutional destiny? Where do we want this court to go? So when Professor Kamek outlines his differences with liberals, he's putting his finger exactly on the point here. This is a fight about substance, and this is a fight about where we want the Constitution to go in the next 20 years.
Sam Alito's 55 years old. It's a relief not to be having a debate about qualifications. That did seem beneath the court. On the other hand, now we've got the real issues sitting right in front of us and very divided opinion on them. I want to turn to Washington once more. We heard from Jessica Eckhart, evangelical Christian at the Eagle Forum. Let me hear now from Elliot Mintzberg. He's legal director for People for the American Way, a more liberal group in Washington. Elliot, what do you make of the nomination of Samuel Alito today?
I think the far right got exactly what they wanted. The far right wanted to eliminate even a hearing for Myers because she didn't have a clear right-wing track record. That's what they wanted. They've got a 15-year track record, not just on reproductive rights, but on a range of other issues. This is a judge who dissented and argued that the federal government doesn't even have the power to ban the transfer and possession of machine guns, for example, and his views of federalism and states' rights and civil rights and a range of issues are far to the right of O'Connor's and would cause serious problems for, as your last speaker just said, 20, 30 years or more. The president has chosen to start a divisive battle just as his far-right base wanted, and that, unfortunately, is what we now have in front of us.
Elliot Mintzberg, look down the road with us, 5, 10, 20 years, you call it, if John Roberts and Sam Alito are on the court for that length of time with the balance shifted in that direction. What changed America do you see coming out the other side?
Very changed America. Let me give you one specific example. It was Rehnquist and O'Connor that were the deciding votes that said that the Family and Medical Leave Act fully applies to state employees. If Roberts and Alito go the way they've indicated in prior decisions, that decision is wiped off the books, and millions of employees don't have the full protection of something as basic as the Family and Medical Leave Act. Reproductive rights, I think we're likely to see a significant erosion, if not overturning, of Roe versus Wade. I think we're likely to see the federal government having extreme limits on their ability to protect our health, our safety, our environment in a range of different areas, civil rights. It's going to be much, much harder to prove discrimination. Alito, for example, in one case, was the only one of 13 federal judges who dissented and tried to argue in a sex discrimination case that a case should be thrown out unless a plaintiff could meet a very difficult standard of proof. With O'Connor in particular being the swing vote on reproductive rights, on civil rights, on affirmative action, on a range of other issues, I think with Alito on the court, along with Roberts, we could literally be seeing a revolution that the far right has been working for many years.
Mr. Mintzberg, are you going to be pushing Democratic Party senators to go to the mat on this, even to the filibuster point?
I think it's much too soon to talk about that level of tactics. We're going to be urging Democratic and Republican senators to oppose this nominee because it is a far-right activist that is exactly what the far-right has wanted. We hope that, frankly, a majority of the Senate will oppose the nomination. Whether a filibuster is appropriate, I think we're just going to have to wait and see as the process develops.
Do you think the left has lost today, Elliot Mintzberg? I mean, the right sounds fairly unified on this. Even willing, it appears, if Senator Lindsey Graham's early comments are an indication, to override the filibuster, which would leave the Democrats unable to stop this nomination. Does that mean that the left has lost for the next 20, 30 years?
If, in fact, the Republican leadership and some of the Republicans are willing to upset Senate rules, eliminate the possibility of the filibuster, stop at nothing to put Alito on the Supreme Court, then yes, I think the left has lost a lot, and not just the left, but all Americans have lost a lot in terms of basic fundamental rights and liberties, will have lost a lot. That can certainly be overcome. That's why we have elections. But we have to look at the Supreme Court's role in defining our basic rights and liberties. It's everything from workers' rights to environmental rights to consumer rights. Everything you care about is at stake with this nomination.
Elliot Mintzberg, legal director for People for the American Way, thank you very much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let me take a call here. Sam's calling from Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Sam. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing?
We're well. What do you think, Sam?
Good show. I think that to make a couple of points, first of all, you had asked, would you like to have a long, drawn-out confirmation or a short one? I think as a, and let me just give you my background, I'm more on the liberal side, the liberal democratic side. I would want my senators to take this one to the mat, filibuster, and although I believe that it may very well be that he is confirmed, hopefully this will give fodder to the liberal Democrats in the next set of elections.
So you say have a long debate, fire up the Democratic base with this one, even if they don't win it in the end. Sam, our time is short, but we're grateful for your call. Thanks for calling in. Let me get one more call here. George is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Hi, this is George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think there's a strain of judicial activism apparent in this judge's writings. I heard on NPR this morning of a decision he wrote on the Third Circuit in which he upheld the Pennsylvania limitation on the wife's right of privacy, which required her to get her husband's okay before she got an abortion.
This is 1991. He was the one vote in that direction, yes.
Well, that being the case, that seems to be rampant judicial activism because nowhere in the Constitution does it discuss the husband's such right. So I'd like to hear some of the this judge's positions comment on that.
Let's look at it, and thanks very much for your call, George. Doug Kamek, what about it? 1991. He was the only dissenting voice in the Third Circuit ruling, striking down that Pennsylvania law that required women to notify their husbands if they planned to get an abortion. It was struck down. He dissented. What do you make of his argument there, Professor Kamek?
Well, first of all, we have to remember that Judge Alito is ruling on this case before the Supreme Court had a chance to consider it. He was the intermediate appellate court. When your caller quite properly says there's nothing in the Constitution, that's correct. The entire right is not in the Constitution. But what was the landscape for a federal appellate judge was that the court had said some level of regulation is appropriate, but it was not particularly clear how much regulation. And Judge Alito went to the cases and discovered the fact that, as is implicit in the concept of ordered liberty, to use that term again, that marriage is a relationship that is greatly respected in our law. And by virtue of that, Judge Alito said the people of Pennsylvania could decide that it was appropriate for a husband and wife to discuss this issue before the wife had the ultimate free choice to determine the outcome. It was a question of notification, not approval, and that was merely Judge Alito giving vindication to the Democratic policy chosen by the people of Pennsylvania. That's what the Constitution prescribes.
Heather Gerken, what about this term, judicial activist? We see it being applied in different ways, in different directions here. Do you see Sam Alito as a judicial activist? What about the notion of super precedence that a justice would not overturn? That was raised in the John Roberts hearings. A lot of talk about stare decisis, about respect for precedent. Where do you see Sam Alito in that spectrum?
So on the question of judicial activism, the term is actually so overused at this point as to be, I think, utterly useless. Mm-hmm. It's really just a reflection of what one's own biases about how the Constitution
should be interpreted. If
it's
the other guy, he or she's an activist, if it's on the other
side.
Exactly. Right.
On the question of super precedent, I mean, that's a more difficult question. It's really hard to gauge how a judge is going to rule when he actually has the ability to overturn precedent. So appellate judges are going to be reversed by the Supreme Court if they consistently ignore its precedent. And the question then is, what precedents does the court continue to respect going forward, and which ones doesn't it respect? The Supreme Court of the United States thus far has said of Roe versus Wade that it is an important precedent and that we are not going to overturn it despite repeated challenges. Whether or not there are enough votes to overturn that in the next few years is a bigger question. I think it's one that's almost impossible to predict because we just don't know what either Judge Roberts or Judge Alito would do when they're up there and the blink factor kicks in, that it is they're the one vote standing between overturning Roe versus Wade and not overturning it. It's almost impossible to predict based on their existing records.
Is it possible to figure that out in the course of hearings, or are we just flying by the seat of our pants? After we look at their record, we get their general cut of their jib, and then off we go?
What we can figure out from the hearings is someone's judicial vision, which is, I think, actually the most important thing here. We should bump up these questions one level of generality and not worry about small decisions trying to interpret messy Supreme Court precedent. What we should instead worry about is what is this judge's overall vision of the Constitution, and which way is that likely to lead him? Because it's not just going to be Roe versus Wade. There are countless important constitutional questions the Supreme Court will be deciding about executive power, about how to rule in times of terror, that we can't possibly predict at this point, and we need a broader sense of his constitutional vision, not a narrow one.
Sounds like a big battle coming, one that it may be tough for Democrats to win, but what a great window you've opened for us this morning. Heather Gerken, professor at Harvard Law School, currently a visiting professor at Yale Law School, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
And Doug Kamek, professor of constitutional law at Pepperdine University Law School, worked with Sam Alito in the mid-1980s. Professor Kamek, thanks as always for joining us.
Good to be with you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.